priesthood, our Lord Jesus Christ. The priest, what he had to do was he had to offer an atonement. He had to offer a sacrifice. That was the office of the priesthood. And so I want to talk about the sacrifice that he offered, the atonement that he made. You know, in the Old Testament, and when they, in Leviticus, you can see it so many times, but when they laid their hands on the head of those sacrifices, what they were doing, they were transferring their sins to the head of that bullock or that goat, and that just signifying that they deserved death and their sins were going to be laid upon the head of that one, the one who had no guilt, and he would die in their place. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he offered. All priests offer a sacrifice. And there are so many theories about our Lord Jesus and the sacrifice that he offered, about his death on the cross. There is some that say he was just a martyr. There are some who say that the only reason he went to the cross is because for God to prove his love to us, that we're so hard-hearted that we thought, that God thought, well, if he nailed his son to a tree and gave his own son, then maybe if we saw how much God loved us, it'd move our whole heart, all hard hearts, to turn around and love him in return. But that's God saving us and doing something for us in spite of the cross. And that won't work. And he died more as just an example. He was more than just a martyr. And we cannot bypass. Every priest has to have something to offer. And so I want to talk about the offering that our priest made and what that offering accomplished. But the priest had two functions. First, to offer sacrifices. Ain't that what I just read to you there in Hebrews 9? He says, you know, the priest daily often went into the holy place and done the service of God every day. But only the high priest went in once a year to offer a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. So that's the first thing that a priest's function was, to offer sacrifices. And secondly is to make intercession. To make intercession. To make atonement. And you know, you remember on the Day of Atonement, the priest did everything. The priest did everything. And that atonement was made on the Day of Atonement, and it was called a holy day. Sins were put away, and the people rejoiced, and the priest, under the law, had all offered sacrifices, but their sacrifices could never put away sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, now we weren't talking about the atonement he made, the sacrifice he made. The Lord Jesus' sacrifice did put away sins. And the reason being, and I don't care what else you say, the thing that has to be satisfied is the justice of God. People say Satan held us and Christ paid a ransom to Satan for Satan to let us go. There's nothing to that. That's a lie hatched in hell. The devil didn't hold us in bondage. Justice of God held us in bondage. God is a just God and a holy God and a righteous God and will by no means clear the guilty. He will not sweep sin under the rug. And that justice must be satisfied. And I say that the sacrifice that Christ offered, and all for whom he offered himself for, must be free from sin, because the justice of God is satisfied in such a way, and he put away sin in such a way, that God himself, justice says, let him go free. Let him go free. Now, Lord Jesus, He had an active obedience and he had a passive obedience as he came here to be the Lamb of God, to be the sacrifice for his people. And his active obedience was his whole life, and his active obedience was when he rendered obedience to the law, obedience to his Father, obedience in every single way as a man. Perfect and perpetual obedience from the day he was born till the day that he died on that cross. And then his passive obedience is when he willingly, voluntarily, had our sins and our guilts laid upon him and charged to him, and he submitted himself to the justice of God, the wrath of God, to die in our room and place. And I want to look at the success of our Lord's sacrifice, the success of his sacrifice. It says here in verse 26, For then must he have offered supper since the foundation of the world, if he had to be offered over and over again. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now this is the atonement that he made. This is what he offered. Now once, he was promised. He was prophesied to come. He said that he would be the Lamb of God. Said that he would be the messenger of the covenant that would come suddenly to the temple. He was promised. He was prophesied. And he came and he is appearing. He appeared at his birth in Bethlehem. He appeared in the temple when Simeon saw him when he was 8 days old and picked him up when his mother's come and made an offering for him and offered him as he's 8 days old to the Lord as the firstborn. And Simeon saw him and took him up in his arms and says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He hadn't suffered yet. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't bled yet. But he said, "Still mine eyes see thy salvation." And then, beloved, he had his appearing in his public ministry. The day that our Lord Jesus Christ stood up in Nazareth and he took the book and he began to read out of the book and he says, "Now, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ear." He appeared. And he appeared once. And now, beloved, he come into this world to appear. And now once. Yes. Once. Yes. Once. Where did he appear at? In the end of the world. You know, everybody's talking about the end of the world and all these birds that just dropped out of the sky and all them fish that just died down in Arkansas. They say, "Boy, them biblical plagues, like biblical plagues." Let me tell you something. The end of the world, the end of days, started when Christ came into this world. That was called the last days when Christ came into this world. That's called the end of days, the end of the world. And what did he mean by the end of the world, the last days? That meant, beloved, that is the end of the world of sin, the end of the world of death, the end of the world of hell, the end of the world of judgment, the end of the world of wrath for all whom Christ offered himself for. And he is the end. He is the fulfillment of the purposes and of all that God is going to do in this world. There's nothing else that God's ever going to do in this world. It ends with Christ, begins with Christ, and ends with Christ. And he appeared once in the end of the world. We're at the end of the world right now. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always." Always. And then look what it says. "But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared." Oh my. To put away sin. To put away sin. Put away sin. You know it says here in verse 24, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands." Those are just figures of the truth. So evidently there was a holy place in glory. What was just typical down here, there was something in heaven just like it. But he appeared into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. And so he entered in there to put away sin. And sin was never, ever put away under the law. Never put away. In fact, all the law did was put men in remembrance of their sins. Look over in verse 3 of chapter 10. "Every year when they'd offer those sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Evidently, you know, so they came and offered them again year after year after year. They're saying, "Your sins are not put away. All the sins that you committed this year," and then every time they've done it, says, "Our sin is not put away. We're here to make another sacrifice." And that's, you know, that's what Arminians believe. That's what free willers mean. That's, you know, they got to just keep coming. And they sin and they come to an altar and put them away. They sin and they come to an altar and put them away. They sin and come to an altar and put them away. And all the sin was never put away under the law. The sacrifice and offerings under the law, all they done was just reminded a man of his sins. And sin is a hard thing to put away. It's a hard thing to put away. Don't you wish you could put it away? Don't you wish you could put away the things that hit your mind? Don't you wish you could put away the fears, the anxieties, the unbelief that you have? Don't you would to God that you could have a perfect mind and a perfect heart? That you'd never doubt God, never question God? That you'd never have an angry moment or an anxious moment? That you'd never fret or fear or worry or doubt? And all of that is sin. Every bit of it is sin. You know, we don't have to start accusing people of things that they do with their hands. We do enough sinning without anybody looking at us, without anybody seeing what's going on in our mind and in our heart, to damn the whole human race just with what's in us and nobody sees but us and God Almighty. Sin's a hard thing to put away. The blood of animals didn't do it. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should put away sin. Then obedience to the law doesn't do it. Oh no, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. I mean, a man can do everything he possibly could do, but all he got to do is just fail in one point of the law and he nullifies everything he's ever done. Nullifies everything he's ever done. Works can't do it. There's not a work a human being can do that will put away sin. Morality can't do it. Good intentions can't do it. And when I first come down here, people would say, well, he's suffering. Somebody gets sick and they've laid suffer for a long, long time. They say, what they're doing is this, God is punishing him for his sins. And when he gets through burning the hell out of him and making him suffer for his sins, then he'll take him to heaven with him. He's suffering so he can sin. God to make him pay for his sin. That's a horrible thing to say. Could anybody ever, by any amount of suffering, ever put away one sin? That's what those priests and that's what those monks and everything that they thought they'd do. They'd go in there and punish themselves and cause themselves to suffer and bleed and beat their brains out and blood come off their head and everything else, trying to make themselves suffer to make an atonement for their own sins. But beloved, suffering, no amount of suffering that a man does, cannot put away a sin and not make God look on a man with pity even. But blessed be the Lord Jesus. There was a sacrifice to put away sin. Oh, it's hard to put away, but listen, God knows how to put it away. And he says he appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin. Listen to it. By the sacrifice of himself. And oh my, he appeared to put away sin once. Once. By the sacrifice of himself. One life, one offering. Look over at Hebrews 7:27 with me just a moment. One life, one act. He put away sin once. Put away sin once by the sacrifice which he offered. It says here in the Hebrews 7:27. He says, who deedeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, then for the people's. For then he did once when he offered up himself. You see, beloved, he put away sin once. Once. Those sacrifices never put away sin. It just made a remembrance of them. But he done it by the sacrifice of himself. And I'd like to understand what it means when he says himself. I've always thought about that, and I've tried to express it time and time again here, what it means when he, by the sacrifice of himself. What is it that makes us ourselves? What is it that when we give ourselves, what does it mean when self is offered? What, everything that makes him, him. What does it mean when he, by the sacrifice of himself? What part of him wasn't sacrificed? What part of him was held back? What part of him was the sacrifice? What part of him put away sin once and for all? Well, whatever made him and made him himself, that's what he gave. That's what he gave. Huh? And all, beloved, he by the sacrifice of himself, he after he himself purged our sins. Oh, he tread the winepress alone. He drank the cup of God's wrath alone. He was, when they came into the garden of Gethsemane again, He was taken alone. He was the only and the last sacrifice that ever put away sin. The only sacrifice that ever put away sin was put away once and for all by the Lord Jesus Christ as His sacrifice, and Himself was that sacrifice that made an atonement that satisfied God forever. And all, look over here in 1 Peter 3:8 with me just a moment. Keep Hebrews 9. Look at 1 Peter 3:18. First Peter 3:18. And talking about once. He put away sin once. Oh my. You know how many preachers are going to get up or up tonight doing it, and they're doing it in meetings all over the world, and they do it, they'll do it on Sunday, and they'll do it on Sunday night. Say, anybody here got any sin they need to repent of? Anybody got any sin that they won't come up here and confess? I don't, because I ain't got any. Why don't I? He's in here. He put away once for all. I can't confess to something I'm not guilty of, and I'm not going to. That's one of the mysteries of the gospel. In ourselves, we know we're nothing but sin. But in Christ, we know that we have no sin at all. That He put it away once and for all by the sacrifice of Himself. And that's why we got to keep hearing Him and looking to Him and finding such comfort and assurance in Him, because we dare not look to ourselves. I looked to myself for so long that I just about to despair until God let me one day hear the gospel. And look here in 1 Peter 3:18, again it's talking about once. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin. Just once. He was the just for the unjust. And listen to this. That He might try to bring us to God. That He'll open a door to get us possibly in the presence of God. No. That He might bring us. Bring us. He brings many sons to glory. And I'm telling you, when it says that He might bring us to God, and that's exactly what He did. He brings us to God. And being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit. So you see, He suffered once. And so back over here in Hebrews with me. He entered once. Look there in verse 12. This is how glorious His sacrifice was. How glorious, how blessed, how perfect an atonement He made for us. He says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once. Once. Just once. He put away sin once. He entered once. He suffered once. Now watch this. And where did He enter into? He entered into the holy place. He entered into behind the veil. He entered in, beloved, where God was. He entered into the presence of God Himself. And beloved, and I mean, He didn't do like that priest that went behind the veil. And there, beloved, He offered that blood and He put it on the mercy seat. And He lit that, and He kept that censer going. And when He got in there, when He went behind there, nobody could see Him. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He entered in once into the holy place, and He went into the very presence of God Himself. That transaction that was made on the cross, that transaction where Christ entered in once with His own blood, and He entered in once into that holy place, just once, and that place that's made without hands. God is here. He dwells apart from man. The way wasn't made manifest, the Scriptures tells us. And He entered into that holy place. And what did He enter in with? With His own blood? With His own blood? You know, they would offer that sacrifice. They'd put it in a bowl. And so when that priest entered behind that veil with that bowl of blood, well, our Lord Jesus Christ never entered into glory with a bowl of blood. No. When that high priest went behind that veil, sprinkled that blood. Our Lord Jesus, the only place blood needs to be sprinkled is on us. But I tell you, when he entered into that holy place, there was an altar up there. And you can find that altar in Revelations. And he went into there, into that holy place, and there he took his own blood. And what I mean by his own blood, I think he presented himself. I don't think he went with a bowl of blood. I don't think he poured it on an altar. I think he took himself up there. And as the Lamb of God from all the foundation of the world, he put himself in the presence of God. And there was that bloody man standing in God's presence. And God said, I'm satisfied. Sin's put away now. And I'll tell you something. This sacrifice was first and foremost for God. It's God that must see the blood. God must see the blood. And that's what he says here. He said, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. The price of our redemption was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were slaves. We couldn't set ourselves free. Slaves to sin. Slaves to self. Slaves to our flesh. Slaves to our vain conversation. Slaves to our tradition. And our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Israel in Egypt, God brought them out with power and blood. And that Passover was sacrificed just for them. And God brought them out with power and blood. And when Christ's blood was presented to God Himself in glory, He went in there once. Just once. That's all it took. Just once. He ain't going to go again. He never went before. He never went before and he's never going again. And he went there with his own blood. God smelled that sweet smell and savor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scriptures tells us, beloved, that once is enough. If you have the right offering, if you have the right sacrifice, once is enough. And once to show us the way is now opened, and that there's one entrance into the presence of God. And then look what else it says here that he did for us. What his offering done for us. Obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh my, you bought with a price. We've been redeemed from our fall condition. We're no longer without the veil. We're no longer way and separated from God. We've been redeemed from our guilt. Redeemed from our sin. If there ain't no sin, there can be no guilt. And there's three eternal things here. First of all, you have eternal redemption. And then in verse 14, you have the eternal Spirit who offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. And in verse 15, he gave us the promise of an eternal inheritance. And you're talking about eternal redemption. You know, eternal is a long, long word. That's a long word. It's a long word. It's not just a limited period. You know, when he talks about eternal redemption, that doesn't mean that you know you're redeemed until you sin again. Or until you backslide. No. When we have eternal redemption, that means our sin was put away once and eternally. It has, you know, God's an eternal God. And the sacrifice that Christ our Lord offered when he offered himself once, it had eternal consequences. God said he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Yeah. And if he is slain from the foundation, it has eternal consequences. You know, my sins, all my sins were future when Christ entered once into that holy place. All of them were future. And all the sins that I have now that are present, they're covered under that eternal redemption. And all the sins that I'm going to commit in the future was taken care of under this eternal redemption. Sin was put away once. If it's put away once, what are we going to do about that? You know, does that mean is it got to do something else? No. And oh, beloved, by His blood, He dealt with eternal things. Eternal things. He had dealt with eternal things like sin. You know, when a man dies in his sin, he'll be a sinner all the way through eternity. If he dies hating God, he'll hate God as long as he lives in eternity. If he has enmity in his heart for God, he'll have it all through eternity. People say people would be give anything. There are all, a lot of believers in hell. No, no, there's not. There's not a one.
No.
Whatever condition eternity finds a man, if it finds him in his sin, if it finds him in rebellion, if it finds him in hunger and thirst after something, he'll always hunger and thirst after that and never be satisfied. Because sin has such eternal consequences. Sin has such a dark, horrible consequence to it that it took an eternal sacrifice, an eternal redemption to put it away. And he dealt with eternal things. He dealt with sin. He dealt with death. Death is an eternal thing. Dying and never dying. Our Lord says, suffering and yet never cease to suffer. The fire that's never quenched and the worm that never dies. Hell is an eternal thing. Hell is an eternal thing. None of these things are temporary. And that's why he obtained eternal redemption for us. Sin's gone. Death's gone. Hell is gone. Satan is gone. As far as his ability to do anything to us. Eternal redemption covers all that will come upon us in this life. It covers all of our troubles, all of our trials, all of our temptations. It not only covers our past and future, but even our present. And we're going to get old. And we're going to, some of us will get old and we won't remember even who we are. Or we don't even remember where we are. You know, there's how many people have we seen out of this congregation die and they know nothing when they lay there the last few hours? Didn't know nothing. You could talk to them. They didn't hear you. Where you at? What's your name? And when we're going to get old and we're going to maybe can't remember who and where we are. But oh, listen. That won't matter one iota. Won't you be glad? And aren't you glad now that he obtained eternal redemption? And who did he retain it for? For us. And then let me show you this quickly and I'll hurry. Over here in chapter 10, verse 10. This not only put away sin once, our Lord's sacrifice, put away sin once. Not only did it obtain eternal redemption for us when he entered into that holy place and offered himself without spot to God and entered in there with his own blood, but he also made us holy. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified. Now watch this. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And here's that word once again. Everything he's done, you know, when God does it once is enough.
That's right.
And oh, beloved, listen. There's threefold sanctification in the scriptures. And it says, you know, there's one that's called setting apart. As like the firstborn was sanctified, set apart for holy use for the Lord's people. Men or cattle, either one. And then secondly, it means to be regarded or treated or declared to be holy. Regarded as holy, treated like the holy, and declared to be holy. Well, we're that in Christ. And then to actually purify and make holy by applying the blood. And beloved, we are all three of those things. We have been regarded holy, declared holy, and treated holy, actually purified and made holy, and been set apart by the gospel and by the Holy Spirit in the gospel and by the truth. And this is how we're sanctified through the offering, again, of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Our sins were put away once. Eternal redemption was obtained for us once. Our sanctification, all by this sacrifice that he offered. And then it says, once and for all, What does that mean? That means it has perpetual validity, not requiring repetition. Perpetual validity. Is that valid? People say all the time, somebody's trying to validate their lives. They're trying to validate their reason for existence. Trying to validate their this, that, and the other. Well, would you validate my parking ticket, you know? Would you make it legal? Well, listen. This is a perpetual validity. We're at where it counts in God's sight. In God's sight. And all, beloved, down in Hebrews 10:14, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Once and for all. Once and for all sin. Once and for all time. Once and for all his people. Once and for all that God required. Once and for all. He put away sin once and for all. He obtained eternal redemption for us once. He suffered once. He sanctified us once. He entered once into the holy place. Once. I mean, you have to do something over and over and over and over. God don't. Christ didn't. Our Father, in the blessed, holy, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that sacrifice. Thank you for that blood, this eternal redemption, this eternal sanctification. And it's all done once. It was done once for all time, once for all you people, once for all you required. And so, Lord, we bless you that once, and we come. And Lord, as the priest put his hands upon the head of that goat or that bullock, Lord, we identify with you. We confess with our heart and soul, with our very being, with everything that's within us. We acknowledge what you did. Acknowledge that's what we need. And we look no place else or look for nothing else again. We look for no sin ever to be put away again. We look for no greater sanctification. We look for no more blessed redemption than what we have, what you did for us. Every priest has to offer something. Lord, you offered yourself. And we thank you for that. That body you offered, that soul you offered, that self you offered. We bless you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.